I think I always pictured just either rolling fields or like a tree line, like a forested path, you know? But
yeah, basically,
I don't picture mountains a lot, and there seem to be near mountains often. And I gotta take a look at the map to find out if that's real. They leave the mountains and mists should be behind them when they start to travel, or to their left.
Yeah,
and then obviously there's mountains near Berlin, but yeah. I don't know if there's any other mountain ranges.
Well, not till they get to Valdara. Well, I kind of guess right though. So the two rivers, it's kind of reminiscent of the Fertile Crescent, right? The Tigris and the Euphrates. And I guess outside of that, on the other sides of the rivers, is probably more rugged terrain, less farming-like. But they always pass farms. They're constantly passing farms on their journey.
Right.
So.
I found a picture. Where do you want me to send it?
Put it on the Discord.
How do all these people not know that they're not supposed to post pictures? Or are they supposed to and then delete them just to get us talking about it?
I don't know if it's either, like, they do it just to do it, and then they know that's going to get taken down, or like you said, it's they're teasing just on purpose. All right, you guys ready to go?
I'm ready.
All right, I think I'm all pumped up. You guys pumped up?
Yeah, excuse me.
All right. That's what I like to hear. Okay. Well, welcome to Talk Around Riyadh, the Wheel of Time showcast. I am your host, Joe Perry. Here with me always are my co-hosts, Jen Isgro. How you doing today, Jen?
Hey, Joe. Doing good.
Great. And Tom Kokoza, my other co-host. How are you, Tom?
I'm excited to do this one. This is going to be a fun one today.
I know. It seems like we keep getting a ton of tidbits of filming, and it's been great over the since last Wheel of Time Wednesday, when we were all kind of a little sad that we didn't get more. We've had so much little filming location leaks and little side character announcements, or not announcements, but leaks as well. So it's been kind of still exciting, even though we haven't gotten anything really official.
Yeah, I agree. I think that I think we talked about it a little bit, you know, live on the show, but we've definitely talked about it in our side conversations in private, like how they're going to space out like all this news and things. And I really do like that they're giving you these little bits and pieces. You know, here's a location, here's possible just an extra, but like here's someone who's cast, who could they be? What's going on? And it really helps, you know, keep the level of excitement high between these bigger cast announcements or whatever that they're going to be doing every month.
Yeah. And I mean, we don't have any new information on the stuff we've already released and talked about, but we definitely have some new stuff to talk about. So I think we should get right into it today, because we got four different pieces of news that I want to hit before we get into our main topic of the day. So the first thing I have is some more filming locations. So WattSeries.com posted an article. It's another one of those local Czech articles that was found. And there's Wheel of Time is filming in Plaskovice in the Czech Republic. And I'm not sure if I pronounced that right.
I'm sure you did.
So apparently there's a lot of chateaus and great architecture there. But apparently there's a grand 18th century chateau. And I'm sure a lot of you have seen the pictures on Twitter. If not, or on Facebook, you can check our Facebook or Twitter accounts. You'll see them there. And again, I love the translation of these articles, because this is Google Translate. Mm-hmm. So it's amazing stuff. So you guys saw the pictures. What are your thoughts on it? Jen, you have any thoughts on what this is going to be?
The chateau?
Yeah.
I mean, it seems to me like it'll be the palace at Camelin. The outside when he's in the garden, at least the outside when he's in the garden, meeting Elaine and Gawain.
Yeah, I think so too. I think that's a lot of what a lot of people are thinking.
Yeah, it does not look in any way like I pictured the Camelin Palace looking, but I think that's really what it has to be, right?
But also, if you think about it, like, just going to keep going back to Game of Thrones, but they could shoot a location and then add CGI to it to make it look bigger or different, you know, in post.
That's true.
So it might not look exactly like what the picture that we're seeing.
Right, and I haven't gone back, and I didn't ask the research team to give this to me, so I haven't gone back to read the descriptions of Camelin, but I pictured it very, like, towery, almost like a storybook castle kind of a thing.
Okay, yeah.
Which this is extraordinarily beautiful, the architecture of this building.
Yeah.
But it's just not what I pictured. This looks more like a Caerleon palace to me.
See, but the Caerleon is the one that has the topless towers.
They have the topless towers. That's true.
Yeah.
I guess the architecture is just more that kind of style in my head.
Yeah.
Although you're probably right. And then, yeah, Jen, to your point, this could just be using the gardens.
Or the inside.
Right.
It could be interior too. They might be using it for interior shots. We don't really know.
We really don't have any idea. It's just a picture of somewhere they were filming. Doesn't mean they were outside or inside. We have no idea.
Yeah, and apparently there's a lot of other architecture in the town. I don't know if there was really confirmation that they were shooting at this specific like chateau. I think the article was just like they were generally shooting it in this town, which has a lot of chateau, the castle kind of vibes to it. So I think it's got to be Camlin, which if they're, you know, going to the trouble of shooting Camlin locations, or I should say the palace, I'm pretty confident that they're going to put the whole, as I like to call them, the Camlin crew in the first season, which we weren't totally sure about.
Yeah,
that's true. I mean, they have made no announcements to like any type of casting for any of those people yet, but
or have they?
Or have they? Right? Probably not, but it's possible. Right, we did talk yesterday about, you know, or last week about a possible Gilad casting, although it didn't.
Oh yeah.
We thought it was unlikely, but it is possible. Yeah, I'm excited about this. The Camlin scene is probably like one of the most pivotal scenes in the Eye of the World. That, you know, what happens at the palace.
Yeah.
And I'm excited that, one, that they're doing it, and two, that, right, and two, I'm excited about the possibilities, because I feel like that's going to be the buy-in episode. Like, people will be into it, they'll watch it, you know, people will be invested, whatever, but that's like the one that like people are going to be like, if it lands right, I need to see what happens next, you know?
Yeah, and that, and I was going to say, and in the book too, like things kind of slow down a bit right before that. And once you get to Camlin, it kind of picks back up again and like runs right into the end of the book. So,
yes.
So I want to get on to the next one. There was another filming article, which I think actually came out around the time we were recording the last episode. This one was found out by Narg from the Daily Trolloc, posted it on Reddit. And I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce the actual Czech name. But it's called Valley Mill. I think it was originally posted by Happy Palachites on Reddit, and I guess Narg had picked it up. And again, it was a Czech article, and it's basically, if you haven't seen the picture, it looks like a ruined house with no roof or some sort of ruined building in the middle of like a rocky forest. And there's a small little bridge and a little stream that goes through it. And your guys' thoughts on what this might be?
that's Shadow Logoth. I'm sorry. I feel like that was clear to me, at least. I did see that some people were like poo-pooing it because they're like, it's too light out, or it's too green, or things of that, like, you know, whatever, because there's like, you know, plant growth on it. And I think people forget, because Shadow Logoth is evil and scary, that it is just the ruins of a city. It doesn't look like, it's not just nighttime there all the time, right? The sun rises and sets, and they get there in the daytime.
Yeah. The only challenge I'd give you on that, it's just a lone building, it looks like. So it's not like in a city. So I guess if they were going to be using it for Shadow Logoth, it would have to be just for like a limited, you know, you wouldn't get a big expansive wide shot. It would just be like kind of closed in on it.
Yeah, I think it's either going to be like their camp building, interiors for that, or interiors for where they find Mordeth, because those are the only two buildings that they're really in there. Yeah. You know,
I think one other thing that I read, and also I was thinking of, so in the scene when the White Cloaks, when Perrin and Egwene and the wolves get in the encounter with the White Cloaks, they hide in an old statue. They hide like at the base of it. It's probably hard to find old statues that look like they're from the Age of Legends, so it's possible they could use this building instead, which is another possibility.
Jen, you have any ideas?
I thought Shadar Logoth immediately when I saw it too. Yeah, I guess like the exterior doesn't really look very much like it, but television magic can change anything. So yeah, it definitely is a rundown building. Shadar Logoth is, so
Yeah,
but I could also see what Joe's saying about them kind of hiding by something else ruined if they couldn't figure out how to make it look like a statue. That's also a good idea.
It'll be great when the show actually comes out and we actually see these places. We're going to be like, oh, I was right, or I was wrong. Or you might not even recognize it when you see it in the show because of the, what, you know, like you said, the adding CGI in the background and things like that.
There's a building that I pass multiple times a week driving that I know was used in Bulwark Empire, a show that I watched religiously. I saw every episode. I know exactly when it was used, what it was used. I could pinpoint every scene in the show where it was used. And it's one of two buildings, and I don't know which one. And I drive past it both of them. So, yeah, like I know it's this, it's it, but oh, it could be that one. I do not know. And so that's what I think. To your point, Joe, we might not even know that that's what that was, right?
It's definitely fun to have all this background information on a television show before it comes out. I've never known this much about locations and actors and what they're doing and when. So it's definitely fun to get this deep into it, especially for a story that we all love so much.
I got kind of deep into it with Game of Thrones. Not this deep, but I was following all that stuff. But yeah, it's definitely exciting. I guess that's why we're doing this, right? So the next two pieces of news are both casting pits. One of them a little more exciting than the other.
But
So
which?
IMDb has a new person listed under the cast. Her name is, I think it's Eva. It's IVA. I'm going to say it's Eva Sindelkova. And IMDb has her listed as Woman Circle. Ta-da!
There you go.
All right.
So we have some random Woman Circle character cast. I'm assuming that's going to be her title. They're not going to name her, so nothing too big. It looks like she does mostly theater acting, nothing television-wise or movie-wise.
Another big break.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Be it.
that's it. She could go rocket to here if she's playing Days Conger. She's gonna come back.
That's right, she is a part of the women's circle, right?
You
Yeah,
never know.
yeah.
We might see again from Emmons Field, so.
How many named women's circle characters do we meet in the books, right? Besides, you got Nynaeve, you got Marin Elvire, you got Days Kongar. Did they name any other ones?
Is Mistress Luhan on the women's circle too?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't remember. I'm not sure if they ever say that.
I don't know if you get anybody else named. You might get more names in Shadow Rising.
Oh, it's possible, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Do they have a new wisdom?
Fael's on it by the end of that, right?
Do they have a new wisdom?
Days becomes the wisdom.
Oh, she becomes a wisdom. Okay.
That's why I said she'll come back, right? She's
Yeah.
walking around with a switch,
Oh, that's right.
she,
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
Nynaeve walked around with a stick, so.
Yes, she did. Yes, she
So,
did.
it wasn't
It's a
much better.
different time.
Yeah. And our final bit of news is actually the most recent bit we got. I think I put these in the order that I found them. Is there was an Instagram post that Jen, you found from an Alexander Willome, and he is an actor. And he posted a picture on Instagram of himself on his way to, I guess, filming. And he was mentioning about doing stunts. And he also put another picture of himself with some stunt actors. And he tagged it hashtag Wheel of Time. And then I heard it was shortly taken down after that. So I looked him up, and he is actually an actor who's been in a lot of stuff. Mostly TV, nothing too major. The only thing that I recognized was The Last Kingdom, which is a Netflix show, but he's in apparently a bunch of other television shows, like currently, which is crazy. He's in like four television shows right now.
That's pretty impressive.
He looks like Michael Fassbender, so that's kind of cool.
A little bit, yeah. He looks like if Michael Fassbender and the wrestler Shawn Michaels had a kid. But I have deduced with the help of the research team, we ran the numbers, and I've got an 87.2% accuracy rating on this prediction that he is Elias Makara. That is what I am going with
Oh.
based on the scenarios that I've run.
Okay, well, that's
And
good.
based on the image that you got. So he got two pictures that he put up. One is him in a car with a bag,
Yes, I
talking
wanted to.
about.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I actually wrote down the quote. I forgot to say it. So, in that first picture you're talking about, he wrote, "In Prague for the day, costume fitting and stunts. What a life."
And then the second picture, it's with the stunt team. It's himself. There's three men and a woman. Right, the
Yes.
woman's young with dark hair. The men, one looks a little older. Two are also youngish.
Yeah.
I am predicting that two of them are the stunt White Cloaks, and one of them is a stunt Perrin, and the other one's a stunt Egwene, and they are practicing a fight. That is my thing. He fits age-wise. He's growing the beard in. I think that is who he's playing.
He's actually young, kind of young for Ilias, because he's only 40, like 6 or 40. I think he's like 46
But
right now.
Elias
Ilias is
50.
he's supposed to be in his 50s.
Well,
yeah. Well, I mean,
Yeah, you're right. It doesn't. I'm not gonna, because my guess was that he's probably one of the White Cloaks. Maybe he could be Bornhold or a Byr or a Fade, or as Tom, you thought, all of the Fades,
all of the fades.
or Forsaken.
I think he's too old for that. It's possible he's a Forsaken.
What about
Maybe
Narg?
Zaganor.
Maybe he's Narg.
No, he's like a, well, he could be. He's like an actor, though. I don't think they
Yeah,
would
but
yeah.
use him for something so small. Like, I think they would just use, like you said, like maybe one of the stuntmen for Narg, but
Yeah, but Narg has lines.
he does. He just says like two lines though. I'm thinking maybe Aghanor. My guess is Aghanor or White Cloak, but
Oh.
he could be Tom. Could he be our Tom?
I don't think
Nah,
so.
maybe. I don't think so, though. I think he's too young
I
for
think
Tom.
Tom's there already.
He was in the new Tomb Raider movie, but he's just listed as Lieutenant.
Hmm,
I don't
okay.
think Tom would be showing up now. I feel like Tom's there and they're just hiding him from us.
Oh, he was also in Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets.
Ooh.
I didn't see that one, but I saw the new Tomb Raider movie. I think I know who he plays in that movie.
Well, it's, yeah. I mean, he looks
And
like
if it.
Michael Fassbender, so it's that guy.
Yeah, I think I know who he is. I think he has a pretty cool fight scene with what you call it? What's her name? Vikander.
Oh yeah, Alicia Vikander.
Yeah, that movie's fun. All right. So yeah. Anyway, I'm still sticking with my guess till proven wrong. I
Yeah.
think since I've done so well on every other prediction so far, I think I'm 0 for the entire.
All
I'm betting big on this.
right.
Maybe
I
he's gonna be Bail Doman.
saw someone put that.
I'm just trying to think of anybody else in the show.
I always pictured Bail Dolman though as like a
Me
stocky,
too.
older, maybe a little bit older than this guy, but yeah.
We didn't do a dream casting for Bail Doman, but I
No,
think I
we.
have one in my head.
Oh no, who? Well, you might as well share it right now.
Brendan Gleeson.
Yeah, like
Oh.
Brendan Gleeson from like 20 years ago though, because
Yeah,
Brendan's
well,
like 70 now.
all
Yeah,
right.
but yes,
How
exactly. He's like.
about, I don't know his name, but the he was in Pirates of the Caribbean, the, you know the guy I'm talking about.
His
Sea
first mate,
turtles. That guy.
yes,
Ah, yeah,
yeah.
I
Tom,
sea
remember that
turtles.
all my castings are from 20 years ago. So,
He fits right in with Jude Law as
yeah, right?
Gallant.
Yes.
But yes, Tom, I
Will
sea
Ferrell is timeless,
turtles.
but yes,
Oh man. They should get that guy to do I don't even know his name. I feel bad. I don't even remember his name in the movie.
no, I. Oh God, I know it. I just have to think.
Yeah.
Mr.
All right, well,
Gibbs? Is it Mr. Gibbs?
Mr. Gibbs.
Yeah,
Mr.
Gibbs.
Gibbs. I'm trying
There
to
you go.
picture Johnny Depp saying it.
That's a great
That's
scene.
awesome.
Oh, I have to watch that movie. I haven't seen that in a while. I love
It's
that
on
movie.
Disney Plus.
There was a time where he's like every weekend I would watch that movie. Yeah, it's weird.
I think I have a photo in my house about you reenacting, but why isn't the rum gone?
Yeah, I won't explain the circumstances of watching that movie every week. That's not for the air.
Okay.
All right, so we've done with our news, and it's time to get into our main topic of the day. We started last week with our character profiles, and we started with Moraine, figuring she was the first person cast, so we'll do her. So now we're going to get into some of the Emmons Fielders, and why not start with the man himself, Randall Thor. So I'm going to begin this reading the description of him from Eye of the World in the first chapter. There's not much of a description. It's crazy how we realize we don't get so much of a description of many of these characters. So I think we get more of a description of what they're wearing. He was a head taller than his father, taller than anyone else in the district, and had a little of Tam in him physically, except perhaps for a breadth of shoulder. Gray eyes and the reddish tinge to his hair came from his mother, so Tam said. That's it. That's our description
Okay.
of Rand.
Well, it's also him like describing himself. I feel like when like he's describing other people from his point of view, it's a lot more in depth, as we saw last week with his description of Moraine.
That's
So it
true,
could be that
yeah.
he's just like thinking of, yeah, whatever, this is what I look like.
That's actually a really good point. He was so like impressed by Moraine, he spent a lot of time describing her, whereas himself he's just like, yeah, this is what I look like.
Me. Yeah, you get other senses of him just in how his actions described and stuff. He's very long-legged, so he's not all torso, right? He's very long-legged.
He's
He
handsome.
obviously he's very handsome. Everyone thinks so. His eyes are bluish gray, although they tend towards gray because some people do see blue in them. He's tremendously broad-shouldered. They say he's broad, but his shoulders are, like, I think they mentioned somewhere else, they're an axe handle, right?
But
And
they say here that he's not, he had, oh, a little of Tam in him physically, except perhaps for
said
breadth of
a
shoulder. Yeah.
little of Tam, not a
Yeah.
little.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm
He
sorry.
has
He
little of
had a
Tam.
little
little.
of Tam.
Thank you, Jen. I'm
Right, except
sorry.
for
A
the
little,
shoulder. There you go.
except for the shoulders. Yeah.
Tam is squat and dark.
Yeah.
They also, he's very, very strong, right? He's very physically fit. They mentioned
He's
that,
as strong as a small pony, right?
Yes. That's quite strong. Yeah, they mentioned, like, just again, like, not in description, but in description through action of, like, his physical strength. It's not a lot of description, and I think that's on purpose. Again, we talked about this a little bit in an earlier episode, but Rand, especially in the first half of the book, is supposed to be almost an audience surrogate. He's supposed to be your pathway into the world. He's supposed to be someone you can identify with. He doesn't have personality traits other than
Stubborn.
like stubborn, and not like mean stubborn, but like I won't be pushed around stubborn, which is something that everyone wishes they had, right? Either imagines that they do, even if they really don't.
It apparently grows on trees in the Two Rivers,
Oh yes,
though.
they're built into it. They say it directly, like they start rebuilding immediately after a
Yeah, well,
giant monster attack.
when they go to Camelin, when Rand, goes into the palace, when he mentions that he's from the Two Rivers, that's like what the first thing that I think Morghese says, like of what they know, or is it Gowen, what they know of Two Rivers people, is like they're stubborn.
Right, and they have a good tabak, and that's it.
Yeah. So Rand was born in 978, which makes him 20 years old at the beginning of the series. He was born on the last day of the Blood Snow at the end of the Aiel War on the slopes of Dragonmount, right? He's allegedly the son of Tam Althor and Cary Althor, who died when he was very young. So it's always assumed that he doesn't look like everyone else in the Two Rivers because Cary Althor was an outlander and he supposedly took after her, which is BS, as we know. His real parents are Tigraine Mantyr and Janduin. Tigraine was the daughter heir to Andor, and at the, I want to say at the behest, but Gitara Moroso has a foretelling, of course, as she is wont to do, and tells Tigraine that if she needs to leave and head out to the Aiel Waste, otherwise the world is basically doomed. So she does that. She wasn't really too upset to leave because she's married to Tarangeal Damadred. She has a child with him, but she's not really in love with him anyway. She did love the child, but she wasn't in love with Tarangeal, so she was happy to leave. She goes out into the ways, changes her name to Shaiel, basically just putting a sh in front of Aiel. Yeah. She becomes a maiden, marries Clan Chief Janduin, gets
How long
pregnant
is she there?
in the waste. I actually don't know that. I'd have to look it up.
Not a very long time. I maybe a year or two max, because the timing just doesn't work out that well, because Gilad's only like 2 or 3 years older than Rand. So like,
That's true. It's got to be
wait,
only a couple
Gilad's
years.
her son? Is that
Yeah.
Gilad is her son
Yeah,
with
that's how.
Oh, I'm thinking of somebody else. Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, how could she become a maiden and marry a clan chief within like a year?
Basically, like she so impresses them with her like toughness and grit. The fact that she's just wandering the Aiel Waste by herself with nothing, somehow survives, and they find her, she's close to death, and like she so impresses everybody with her natural abilities or whatever the case may be, that not only do the maidens accept her, but Janduin falls in love with her. So I think it's,
Okay.
sorry.
I'm sorry. I pulled up the timeline.
Okay.
So it's in 972 that Gitara Moroso tells her to leave.
Oh, all right.
And then Rand's not born until 978. So it's 6 years.
6 years.
So
Okay.
Gallad's 6 years older, which makes sense because Gallad's supposed to be around the same age as Nynaeve.
Okay.
So it's 6 years she's in the waste.
All right, that makes more sense.
Yeah. Gives her time to train to actually be
Yeah.
a
Oh, wow. I
maiden.
didn't even realize this. When she's found originally in the Aiel Waste,
Oh,
when
okay.
she goes to the waste, Aemys is one of the women who actually finds her. I guess when Aemys was a maiden, and she apparently gives her the name Shaiel. I did not know
Okay.
that. Yeah.
I didn't remember that, but yeah, that's cool. It's all connected. So I do think it's funny, just a pause right here. There's a pretty big like mythological undercurrent, right, about like the hidden history, right, or whatever, like the secret history of your hero, right? So here's Rand, a farm boy, a Luke Skywalker kind of a thing, right? He's a farm boy, he goes out on an adventure and he finds a secret history where he's like triple times a king, like he should have been the Prince of Andor, and he's also like, like whatever. His mom is a queen, his dad is a clan chief, which is basically one of 12 kings of 12 tribes of the Aiel, and so like he's like super duper royalty by birth, which it's just cool, and it's also just I think indicative of a weird thing about the Wheel of Time, which is just like nobles are actually better than regular people pretty much all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
It's also reminiscent of God, I can't. What's the Greek mythological figure who he's given away and then raised And then it finds out, is it a, not Achilles,
Hercules?
is it Paris?
No, Paris is Prince Troy the whole time.
I have to look it up. I'll look it up while we're
Achilles
talking.
doesn't know he's the son of a god.
Yeah, I'll have to look it up. Oh, it's one of the, no,
It's
forget it.
Theseus.
We'll get
It's
back to it later.
Theseus. What's the syndrome when you want to
Odysseus?
marry?
Oh, it
No,
happens.
you want to
Oedipus.
marry
Oedipus.
Oedipus. Oedipus. Oedipus. That's what happens
That's
to him.
another
He
one. You're
doesn't
right.
know. He doesn't know it's his mom. Yeah.
Yeah,
So.
that's another one too. So anyway, you're mentioning parallels. So I did find out that Tigraine is reminiscent, or I guess taken from, again, Arthurian legend. Igraine is actually the mother of King Arthur, and she was actually got pregnant by men other than her husband and gave birth to King Arthur. So there's also a another similarity right there.
Just reading up on Arthurian myths, just on the quick aside, there's so many children out of wedlock in Arthurian myth. It's crazy. I don't know. Anyway, so that's cool. I didn't know that about Tigraine thing. That's a cool one. All right, what else you got in our introduction to Rand, Joe?
So, did you guys know that he was a farmer from Emmons Field in the Two Rivers?
I
Oh, I
did.
was unaware of that.
Yeah, he was. True, true
Oh, okay.
story.
Was he a
Did he
farmer or
herd?
a sheep herder? Oh, he was a sheep herder, I thought.
He's just a sheep herder, aka farmer.
He's also a farmer. Okay.
He's a farmer and a
Yeah.
sheep herder.
Yes.
He's all but betrothed to Egwene Alvear, as mentioned many multiple times in the beginning of the book. He leaves home after the Trollocs attack on Winternight. He gets convinced by Moraine that he needs to go, because if they stays, they're just going to keep attacking, and he doesn't want to put the his town in danger.
Can we go back to Egwene for one second?
Go ahead, go
I
back to
feel like
Egwene.
they have zero chemistry throughout the entire beginning of the book. Like, I feel like he always cares about where she is and if she's okay, but it's almost like he feels like he has to because he's gonna marry her. I don't know. I feel like he'll
Well, they're
say
not.
things, but I feel like when they interact, there's no like romantic, there's no, I don't know. I feel nothing between them at all.
They aren't meant to be together,
Well,
right? I
right.
mean,
That's true, but
really, right?
maybe that's
Destiny.
why. But it's
But,
just very like,
yeah.
well, that's the girl I'm supposed to be with, so I better make sure she's okay. Not that he
Well,
does, like he cares about her, but not like
here's the
romantically.
thing. There's Rand pre-Barallon and Rand post-Barallon. So once he meets Min and Min tells him the thing that he's not for her and she's not for him,
Yeah.
his whole demeanor towards her changes.
Yeah.
So I guess there's a distinction at that point. And I'm at the very end of Eye of the World listening to the audiobook, and there's like a whole
Yep.
scene with him and Egwene. I didn't even remember it happening, but it's very like intimate scene that they have together. And she's like saying like, you could be my water, and kind of like almost, crushing on him pretty hard. And he's just thinking like, she's not for me and I'm not for her.
You
I'd
know,
say
it's
that's
something that,
And he does
yeah.
constantly think of her, like when he's separated from her, whenever they're talking about, like when him and Matt are alone and they're like, contemplating whether they're still alive and blah, blah, blah. Matt's always saying, oh, they're probably dead. He's constantly always thinks of Egwene, never says Perrin, never says,
I
Moraine
know he
or
does think of her,
not
but
Nynaeve. He
it
always
doesn't.
thinks of Egwene.
I don't know.
I think that if they hadn't seen the world, they would have been perfectly fine married together.
Right, but
But
it
they
wouldn't have been
just.
like a grand
They
love
wouldn't have.
story.
They wouldn't have, because Min saw it not happening. So we know whatever
Right.
Min
Well, they
sees
could
is
have.
true.
They would have. I mean, but they already had seen the world at that point, and it already had changed them enough that they were incompatible, I think, by that time already. But something I didn't even realize textually until you just said it right now. Yes, Min tells him that information, but he also meets Min for the first time. And
Right.
Min is somebody that he's destined to be with,
Yeah.
right? That may help his demeanor change, even though he doesn't even realize it. That's a trope that really happens with Matt more, that he just acts and does things but doesn't think about them at all. Like doesn't even realize that he thinks or does things. But I think that might be something with Rand here too. Like he has already met someone that he is destined to be with, two people before the book is over.
Yeah.
So Egwene's losing headspace.
Yeah. So anyway, by the way, it was Paris who I was talking about.
Oh,
Yeah.
sorry. I'm sorry, Joe.
That's
I
okay.
dismissed you right out of hand.
He was yeah, that's the whole story of him I guess being left or by the river or something like that, and eventually he makes his way back and finds out that he's the son of the king.
I only know Paris from the Orlando Bloom character in Troy.
Oh
So I
yes,
guess
yeah.
that would take place after what you're describing.
No, it's before. This is like his early. This is like when he was a baby. He
No,
was given up.
I'm saying what you're describing takes place before.
Oh,
that movie.
yes. Yeah.
Yes, he's already come back and
Right.
taken his seat,
Yeah.
whiny prince.
So yeah, there's a lot of parallels to a lot of mythologies in there with Rand. And you know,
I didn't even get started.
I know you didn't get started. So I'm gonna just I don't have a lot
Yeah.
because you know what? There's not much, not that there's not much Rand in the Eye of the World, but you don't learn too much about him,
What
which is kind of
about
weird.
like his channeling?
Yeah, he can channel.
Okay, you don't want to talk about
Really?
that?
Do you want to talk about him channeling? I figured we'd skip over that part.
Why? You just said you don't have
I'm
anything to talk about.
only kidding. It's a big part of the
Like
freaking
what?
series. Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were
So
done. I thought you were like wrapping up your notes.
I was gonna wrap up the episode right here.
Okay, that's it, everybody. We'll get Tom
That's
started next week.
it.
So yes, Rand can channel, and he does channel in the first book. So there's actually I actually channels I think 4 times in the first book. So if you want, we can go through those 4 times. So the first time is in the very beginning when they leave the Two Rivers. They're riding the horses out, and he removes the fatigue from Bella. Maureen goes around to go do her little magical channeling where she can remove fatigue from the horses so they can ride more. And she goes to Bella, and she's like, "Oh, Bella seems pretty fine. That's kind of strange."
You think like at that point Bella's like a magic horse before you have any idea of anything else. She's like, "Wow, Bella's like amazing.
Well,
Some
she
special
is.
thing is I know, but like I don't know, at that point you're
Yes,
just
I actually do remember, not that she was magic, but I'm like that's like a real horse of the earth, not like these war horses, right? Like it
a
did
true
trick me because
Emmett
I didn't
Field
know.
horse, right?
She
Right, the
taught
first time I didn't
Rand.
know.
She taught Rand how to channel, right?
Right,
Bella's the
right.
first one who brought the channeling out of Rand. She taught him, so
He cares about her the most,
he
even
does.
more than Egwene. Oh, as actually, isn't Egwene riding on her?
That's why.
Oh, all right, he likes her a little.
That's why.
Yeah. Yeah, because they leave. Because I think Moraine and or Lan secures horses for all of them when they leave, not planning on Egwene coming. And then Egwene shows up, and Bella happens to be in the stable. And Rand's like, "Oh, you can ride Bella."
Right, and she's actually falling behind because they're all running, and
That's
he's
right.
like, "Light, please help. Bella's stronger than that."
And we get Rand's first episode of channeling sickness in Barillon, which is shortly after that.
Right.
And I think we talked about channeling sickness in our channeling episode. So if you want more
Yeah,
info, just go back to that.
we could lightly touch on them, but we really go in depth on all the Rand channelings in that episode.
We don't go into depth on all of his channelings. I think we talked more about the channeling sickness.
Well, maybe.
I don't know. We'll have to go back to it. But whatever. We're going to talk about some channeling some more.
Yeah.
So the second time he channels is when they're on him and Matt are on Bail Doman's ship when they're getting chased by the Trollocs. The Trollocs come on the ship and Trolloc's about to kill Rand, and he channels and causes the boom on the ship to swing around and knock the Trolloc right before he kills him. And then and then his
Right.
channeling sickness. If you've seen the cover of is it the ebook cover, Tom?
The ebook cover.
The ebook cover of Eye of the World, where you see Rand wearing a nice puffy shirt up on the mast of a ship. That's Rand being full of channeling sickness at the top of the mast of Bail Doman's ship.
Somebody's doing like the acrobatics and stuff up there.
Yeah, he's just like
Channeling Fabio.
he's like high, basically. From the scene description, he's basically like high off his ass on that one. But
I've heard.
yeah, so I've heard. That's what it's like. The next time he channels is when they're in Four Kings. I believe that's when they meet the skinny innkeeper, right?
Yep, never trust
Never
him.
trust a skinny innkeeper. They're in Four Kings and they stay at the inn and there's Dark Friends. Trying to
Florin
remember.
Gelb is the dark friend?
No, Florin Gelb's the guy from
Or
Doman's
is he the
ship.
guy from the ship?
Yeah,
Oh,
it's
man.
Harald Goad or
Yes,
Harald Gold.
Howl Goad, yeah.
Howl
Harald
Goad.
Goad.
Howl Goad.
Yes,
You know,
he's the dark
great.
friend. Him and
Oily.
another.
He's oily.
Yeah, he's definitely oily. He's a 1950s greaser. And
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
he's.
You know what I always picture as Howl Goad, just total as you ever see Total Recall, the Schwarzenegger Total Recall? And they send the doctor in to try and convince him that he's still in the dream.
Yeah.
And the guy's like all nervous, and then he has the bead of sweat, and Arva kills him because like dreams don't sweat.
Yeah.
Like that's Howl Goad, that guy. That's what I picture 100%. I just picture him in the yeah. So there you go.
Maybe they can get him to play Harald Goad if he's in
Again,
the show.
32 or 30 years ago now.
He's probably like 80 years old right now.
Right. My
So yeah, Rand and Matt are in, I think they're sleeping in the barn or a back storeroom or something like that. And Goad and another dark friend are trying to convince him to go with him. And they're about to break through the door, and Rand calls down lightning and blasts them. And also, I think blasts at the wall, so they're able to escape. And he gets sick then at the Queen's Man in the next town, I think, that they go to. He gets sick in the kitchen.
And he blinds Matt after that from the
That's right,
blast
yeah.
for a little bit.
He does.
Right.
And then the final channeling that he does, the
What's
grand
that? Oh, that part.
finale at the end, when he
Right.
blasts the Trollocs and the Drakkar and the Murdraw with lightning and fire and earth, and he burns Balzamon's face off.
That's right.
And he actually
Like you do.
gets, yeah, and he gets sick actually right after. So I guess as the channeling occurs, like, the sickness comes on quicker and quicker.
Right.
Just some other notes. He's particularly strong in fire, which brings me to something I wanted to talk about. It, kind of makes sense that he's called the dragon and he's strong in
I was
fire.
just thinking,
What's that?
have we mentioned that he's the dragon
No, we
reborn?
didn't, and I was going to get to that.
We haven't
Spoiler,
said that yet.
everybody. Oh, I'm
He
sorry. I'm
is
sorry.
the Dragon Reborn.
There's one other note too. I'll wait till we talk about him being the Dragon Reborn. But I never really picked it up that he's strong in fire. He's the dragon. He's strong in fire. Dragons breathe fire.
Ah.
But why do you think Robert Jordan calls them the dragon? I'm not being facetious. I'm like, seriously, why did he equate, like, mythological dragons with this character or this role of a character? Do you guys have any idea?
So I gave my joking response to this, I think earlier, that Jordan was just a huge Bruce Lee fan, but dragons, depending on the myths, are forces of evil or forces of good, forces of destruction or forces of protection, and like I think that all leads up to it. But I also think that nobody knows what a dragon is in Rantland at this point, right? That when they see one, they don't know what the picture of it is, but like. I don't think that's the case for Luz Theron. I think Luz Theron just liked dragons.
So
And
you
that's why it
think,
was a sigil.
he called himself the dragon?
Yeah,
So you
he or they
think.
called it the dragon. That was Luz Theron's sigil. That was on his flag and whatnot. So I think that Luz Theron was not the Dragon Reborn, right? The Dragon Reborn is not always reborn. Luz Theron was just the dragon.
Yeah.
So anybody before Luz Theron who's fought Balzamon
Not.
was not the dragon. It was just other people that
Right.
fought. It was like different names.
Different
And then the
names.
last one happened to be called the dragon, so they're calling this one the Dragon Reborn.
Because that last one destroyed society and became the most infamous man.
Right.
And he's the only one, I guess, that's remembered at this point in time. That makes sense. So I
Right.
guess at that time, we don't even know. Were there actual dragons at the time in the Age of Legends? Or is that like it,
No, I don't
during
think so.
during the Age of Legends, similar to where from where we are now back to the Age of Legends, from the Age of Legends back 3,000 years, there's Legends of Dragons, and that's where they got it from?
Yes, I always took the Age of Legends to be the next age. Like, we're in an age when this age is over, the Age of Legends is going to come. And
Okay.
then after that, and that would explain why there's, like, still symbols of our world in, like, museums and things. So I don't think it's too far along on the seven age wheel there happens to be. But yeah, so I think that, like, dragons were just cool things still, cool historic things that would put on a banner
I'll buy it.
in, what's it called, in Luz Theron's time.
Okay, I'll buy that. I like it. I always wondered that, like, why it's a dragon? It's just because I always thought, just because, like, oh, it's a fantasy series, so you gotta have dragons in it, even if there's not an actual dragon.
Right,
But
I think
doesn't he
that's.
get like dragon tattoos on his
He
arm?
does. He
Like they
does.
come,
There's the dragon
so
banner.
but they don't know that that's a dragon.
Well, they
Nope.
call it the dragon tattoos, right? I think they call it the dragon marks, right?
But the people,
I don't know if the Aiel call it
you just
that.
said they don't know what a
Well,
dragon is.
they do, because the Aiel clan chiefs get them, and if they get them, they know they're the people of the dragon. So that's why they would know what those marks are.
They know it's like a symbol of the dragon. I don't know if they know, like, the creature, right? Because they'll call the creature like
Yeah.
a serpent-like creature. I don't know if they actually call the creature a dragon. They always mention
But
the banner of the dragon or the symbol of the dragon.
the Aiel clan chiefs
right.
all know, because they all go through the same thing that Rand goes through to see their history. So they know they've seen the dragon, right? So they
Okay.
have an idea more of what that this is a dragon because they see the Age of Legends.
Gotcha.
But I don't remember if they call it that. They just say call them serpent figures.
Yeah.
Like they assume that the image that they see is that of a dragon, but they don't know.
They know what a heron looks like, though. That they know
That they do.
it. And the last bit I have here that I noted is that we forgot to talk about is that Rand is Taviren.
Yep.
Yep. We first hear that word. I think it's the first time we hear it is loyal, right? When he
Well,
meets
yeah.
Loyal and Camlan, he's the one who says you're Taviren. I
Really?
think that's the
Yep.
very first time we even hear the word Taviren.
Yeah, he says it, and Rand doesn't know what it is,
Yeah,
and
he
he has to explain
explains the
it.
whole thing of what Taviren is, and then he's the one who assumes that Matt and Perrin as well are Taviren. It's all loyal. It's the
Right,
man.
and I think honestly, in the first book, because people are like, oh, maybe Egwene is Taviren too, right? Because of all the influences she has. And I think in the first book, Moraine may even say, like, float that as a possibility. You just never get confirmation or denial from anyone who can actually tell.
Yeah, there was always rumors too, I think, in the community of in theories about there being a fourth Taviren and the possibly being Egwene.
I mean, she does go everywhere she goes, everyone
Yeah, it would
falls
make
in
total
line.
it would make sense if you find out if we just found out that, Robert Jordan had a note saying, "Oh, Egwene's Taviren." We'd be like, "Oh, okay, that makes
Right.
sense." And people a lot of
Right.
people would be like, "Finally, she gets her due." If
God.
only would have known earlier. And Loyal
Yes.
explains the whole thing of what Taviren are. They're tied more closely to the pattern, have stronger pulls. Their threads have stronger pulls on the world around them and the people around them to kind of drag them in and draw them into to it's almost like they're bound more by fate than anyone else.
Right, they have less freedom of action, but they have more impact on the actions that they do take. And there's different levels of Taviren. Some people can be mildly Taviren, some people can be much stronger Taviren, and some people can be it for a very, very brief period of time, or some can be for longer. So, like, as the series goes on, people theorize that Rand may be the strongest Taviren ever.
Yeah, and I always forget about that, and I like that Taviren is not, it's not like you're born and you're Taviren until you die. You can just be Taviren for a short part of your life.
Right,
Because
right.
I think at the end of the series, right, like Rand, Matt, and Perrin are all like the Taviren is gone.
No, they don't say that, but I do not think that is true for Matt. I think it is true for Perrin and for Rand.
Okay.
I think that Matt still is Taviren because everyone else doesn't do anything. Like the last thing that Matt does solo, the Raking crashes, he comes off, I think he kills some dudes, and then his hat, which fell off while he was flying, rolls to him and he picks it up and puts it on. And I think that he still has his luck and he's still Taviren. Because he's the
Well,
only one, also whatever, like outside of just textual stuff, like when Jordan was still alive, he talked about that he wanted to do another series of books with like winning back Seanjin, like Matt and Tuon going back and trying to like take back what that had been lost while they were gone
okay.
in Seanjin. And like I think that he would still have, he needs those abilities to be successful, I feel.
He could still have
But I
his
don't know.
luck. He could still have his luck and not be Taviren, though.
That's true. That's true.
I have two comments. I'm going to say both of them before you guys answer.
Okay.
So the first one is Rand Taviren just because he's the Dragon Reborn? Is every dragon Taviren? Do Matt and Perrin also become Taviren because of their proximity to Rand? Because I feel like it's weird that there's like three best friend Taviren hanging out together. So go ahead. Now you can address both of
You want to
those
go
things.
first, Tom, or?
You go first.
Okay. I think all of the quote unquote dragons are Taviren. I think you'd have to be for that whole scenario to work out. Even if it
Right.
doesn't work out, right? Because Ishamael constantly says, we've done this many times and I've made you, basically said, I've made you my bitch for multiple of those times. So I think he's Taviren. The dragon is Taviren no matter what. As to Perrin and Matt, I don't think that it's their Taviren because Rand was Taviren. I think it was their Taviren because that's what the pattern needed.
I just thought of something. I know Tom wants to talk, but I'm going to say one more quick thing.
No, go
Maybe
ahead.
it's like in Dark Tower, where like Roland has to do the same thing over and over and keeps failing, except in the last time around he gets the horn, right? So that's like supposedly going to change it. Maybe it's like the dragon keeps failing, except this time now he gets Matt and Perrin, so they help him this time to be successful.
It's true.
Ooh, that's interesting. I didn't take it like that, but I like that. I agree with what Joe's responses are, I'll say, in that I think that the dragon probably, or whoever is the main, avatar of the creator in this age, almost definitely needs to be a Taviren in order to do that role, to fill that role. But I don't think that Matt and Perrin have just caught Taviren off of Rand. I like your take, and that's interesting. My take was a little different, and I'm not saying I'm right and you're wrong. I don't know if that's either of us are right, and I like what you said, but I thought the world is so fractured, and the Shadow had been so successful in keeping it as such that the world needed three strong Ta'veren, possibly four, in order to have a chance to succeed. Rand is the dragon,
Okay.
he's responsible for the main battles, but like Perrin is basically, he becomes like the best king you could be, right? Like that's his like his growth pattern. And Rand be and Matt becomes obviously the best general that you can be, and that becomes his. So you have somebody who can like unite the men, the different peoples of the world, and help Rand do that. You have somebody who can fight for Rand because Rand can't lead the fight. He has to have his own fight. And you have somebody who does that. And I think that that's necessary because of all that Ishmael did. That was my take on why there were three of them. I like the fact that, like, it's I guess it's in the same kind of wavelength, but for a different point of view. The creator's like, well, I guess I'm not, this isn't doing it. I need to give this guy more help.
Yeah, like hit
This time he needs
reset.
to be.
It's like a choose your own adventure where the creators just keeps going back and choosing a different way to do it.
Do it
And
another
he's
way.
like beta testing
Right.
it. He's like, no, I made it too hard.
It's
This
like
level's just too hard. Let's do a save point.
War Games with Matthew Broderick, where he makes it where he makes it play tic-tac-toe and it keeps trying and trying over and over again different
Right,
ways to
really.
win the game, and he can't win the game. Although in this instance, they win the game. But
That's it.
yes. So any thoughts on Joshua Radowski's portrayal of Rand and maybe things that they'll keep and cut in the television show?
I'll say this, and I don't know what he's going to look like. I know we've seen him with redder hair. I think that looks good. I always pictured Rand with longer hair. Not long hair, not like, like a rocker guy, but like longer hair, and that it does
Really?
get long. Yeah. I don't picture people having barbers there, especially not if you live in the Two Rivers. And I always pictured him with like kind of like a
But they never mention he
like.
has long hair, and most of the characters they'll mention if they have longer hair.
I always picture not long. I don't picture him like having like shoulder length hair, but
Like a mullet, maybe?
not like a mullet, like
Like chin length.
no, like I'm trying to think of somebody who has like
Business
a
up front and dragon in the
yeah,
back.
exactly. Yes, that's exactly what I meant. No, well, honestly, not for nothing, the picture that we were kind of making fun of earlier about the ebook cover with him like in the pirate shirt, that's the kind of hair that I picture him having. Just kind of like longish, wavy, curly kind of like just like a big full head of hair. Josh, his hair was very tight,
Yeah.
It was much more tightly cropped than I pictured. And then again, that could be he may be growing it out, he may wear wigs, but so I'm not talking about like long, like an Aragorn, Lord of the Rings, like everyone's got shoulder length hair or longer. Like Zach Morris without gel, just full, a full, nice full head of hair.
That's borderline mullet.
Zach Morris in the college years
No,
or the high school?
he had like
Or
a, didn't he have like a bucket kind
Miss Bliss's class. What's that one?
of? Good morning,
Good
Miss
morning,
Bliss.
Miss Bliss.
Good morning, Miss Bliss.
I don't even know if that's the best way to give it. Like kind of like
Is
again,
does wait
like
wait wait does
I'm
Perrin
like a
have
1980.
Perrin's got the curl, so then has he got the AC Slater long curly hair going?
No, he does not. No, AC
Oh
Slater has a mullet. Perrin, I picture Perrin's hair like the hobbits in the cartoon Lord of the Rings, where it's just like a cap of curls that's really like all over the place, and
okay.
that it does get a little longer. But picture like what Tom Cruise had in the 80s. That's what I picture
Okay.
like Rand's hair like.
Oh, or
You know what I
like
mean? Just like a nice long, like it's longer. It's a longer conservative cut,
like Johnny
not
from
something.
Karate Kid.
Yeah, even a
Billy
little longer than
Zabka.
that, but like that. Yeah, like that. That kind of, yeah.
I'm glad
Although
we
it's
spent
curled,
all this
but
time talking about his
it's
hair.
important.
Yeah, we
You
got like
asked
20
if
minute hair
it's
conversation.
we can get we can
I'm glad we spent this time.
This is the most important thing, Joshua, if you're listening to
We were
this,
saving this for the
you got to
end.
nail the
Yeah, we were
hair.
saving this for the end because it's the most important thing. Jen,
Sure.
do you have any other thoughts about Josh's take on Rand besides hair? We saw he was getting jacked for the role.
Yeah.
You know what? I always feel like these guys shouldn't be hitting the gym. If he's playing a farmer, he should be out like doing farm stuff. He should be out like, plowing fields and milking cows and herding sheep and that and get the farmer's tan going. That's how he should really be getting into the role. But that's just
Yeah,
me.
it shouldn't be like lifting
Interesting.
iron, but like CrossFit would be a good, I think, substitute for that. Just like doing physical labor until you get
Pulling
strong.
plows, but by hand, hoeing fields.
Like a strongman competition you're talking about? Like that, like building up for that?
I'm just talking about like farming stuff. That's all. That's all I'm talking about.
You know, 'cause I've seen a lot of farmers and they all look like super jacked.
I feel like in the first season in Eye of the World, it's a pretty easy character to play. There's not much depth to Rand, unfortunately, in the first book. He's pretty much just some guy, like you said, he's the audience surrogate. He's learning all these new things, and I guess his main characteristic is that he's got a strong will and he's stubborn and he doesn't give up easily. So I think he's a pretty easy character to play, and I think it shouldn't be too difficult. As we get into later seasons, that's where the real challenges are going to be.
Yeah.
He
He
definitely has
has
a
the
look. He looks like
look.
him. Yeah, he totally looks
Yeah.
just like I would picture Randall looks. So.
Yeah. And I think he has a good look for like crazy rant, when
I don't
that
know
starts to
yet.
come.
I haven't. I need to see the
I
crazy eyes.
think he has a good look for it. I
Okay.
think he has a good look for it.
Yeah.
Jen, you have any thoughts on any of that?
I think he definitely looks the part. As far as you said, like things they might cut out of his story, I hope they cut out like the chapter of them traveling to different cities
Yeah, there's a lot.
before they
There's
get to
that's multiple
Caitlin.
chapters. That's like three or four
Yeah.
chapters of just him and Matt
Probably gonna be
going
cut.
into like Four Kings and to was
Yeah.
it
Well,
Marcus
Four Kings they could
Sher?
keep, but everything else is like enough. But
There's a bunch of those.
other than that, he does a lot of interesting things, and I think they should keep most of it in. I do like Rand a lot. Like I said, I think he looks good for the part, and I'm excited
Yeah,
to see
I
it.
can't wait to see those intense scenes. That'll make or break it when you see how he does in those
Yeah.
really intense scenes.
Oh, he has that scene with Tam where he's like sick and mumbling about
Oh yeah.
how he's not really his son.
Yeah, in the
That's a good
beginning.
scene.
Yeah,
Yeah.
we should see some good stuff early on with him.
I think it's interesting, right? Like the biggest mystery, right, of Game of Thrones, right, is revealed as the show goes on, and like it's obviously like, who is Jon Snow, what is his parentage, etc. And
Spoiler
like,
alert for Game of Thrones.
well, I didn't say who it was, I just said who
Okay.
is Jon Snow, what is his
Well,
parentage.
yeah.
And they're giving this to you like before the first episode is over, right, in
Well,
this book,
you
right?
don't
And
know
as if,
definitely. You really don't
no,
find
but
out his true
you know immediately,
parentage.
like it's like
It's
there's something wrong
suspect.
here. Yeah.
Yeah. You
Right,
don't really.
which I
Yeah,
think,
how could you? You don't find out till like
how
the
could
fourth book, right? Until
fifth
they go
book?
into the. No, the one they
I
go
think
in
the
the
fifth. Oh,
waste,
the
I
fourth
think.
book. Yeah,
I think you don't.
no, you find that in the se don't you find that a lot in the second book?
Well, no, you don't know who his parents
When
are.
he's talking to Swan and Moraine, I
You
don't know,
don't.
and that he's born on the side of the mountain. You found out that he's like
Yeah,
found on
you
the
find
side of
out
the
all that
mountain
stuff,
and
but you
all
don't
that.
find out who his parentage is. I don't think you find out. Yeah, it might be the fourth book.
Yeah, you're right, Jen. You find out,
Okay.
that he's not Tam and Carrie's son, but you don't know
You
who his
know that.
parents are,
You know
and
that by chapter seven.
yeah.
No, you know that in the beginning, but then you
I
find
don't
out
think,
like
yeah, you actually find out.
foretelling and all that
Yeah.
stuff.
Yeah.
All right. Go ahead, Tom. You're
But I look, it's fine. I don't want to
I'm
like
trying to end it, Tom, and you keep going into it.
end it. I do
Now
want
you
to
have
say
one last
like,
thing. Go ahead.
no, I have a lot of stuff.
I
I
know. We're not going to get
so
into there's a whole Jesus comparison we can get
there's a
into.
ton of
And
I
you know
feel
what?
like and we could do a whole episode if we wanted to, and obviously I do. If we don't, it's fine. But we could do a whole episode on the mythological figures that make up or influence Randall Thor. It's a ton, and I know that a huge amount of the fan base are really passionate about this stuff. So I tried to, I had the guys working overtime to get me, leaflets and papers and things.
So, you know what?
So.
That's a great idea for an episode. And another podcast that I listen to sometimes, History on Fire, they did a whole episode, but he's an Italian guy. He does a history podcast, and him and another guy who did a Game of Thrones podcast, they did a cross episode where the two of them joined forces, and they basically did Game of Thrones in real life history. So they basically pulled a lot of stuff from real history that reflected stuff in Game of Thrones and where a lot of the stuff from Game of Thrones came from, which was a pretty cool episode. So maybe we'll do something like that at some point. We'll get one of the really, really heavy hitting history, mythology, podcasts to come on our show, and we can do that.
Okay.
Or we'll try.
That's it.
Yeah.
I'll try to try.
And we're going to do more. This is not our only Rand episode. We were trying to limit it to Eye of the World stuff. And obviously, as the seasons come out, and hopefully there are many seasons, we'll do more Rand episodes and get deeper and deeper into him. Wait, that sounded weird.
Let's close it right there.
That sounds like a good place to end. So thanks to everyone for listening. You can follow us on Twitter at Aran Talk, on Instagram at talk underscore Aran underscore Riyadh. Look us up on Facebook. Go to Apple Podcasts, rate us, review us. We're trying not to send you guys all over the place, but we're a lot of fun to follow on social media. Tom, I'm going to say this. I was probably supposed to mention this last week, but I'll mention it now. Tom, you're on another webcast called Audio Dungeon. Give us a brief overview of that.
We go live every Wednesday at 8:30. We play our homebrew Dungeons and Dragons game. We play a couple of mini games, one of which is a mystery that I create right every week that you guys can listen, watch, and solve at home with the players that are live in the room. It's a lot of fun. We're going to have a special guest this week, this Wednesday coming up, which is the 27th, I believe, of November. And that special guest is Joseph Perry.
Yes, so this episode should be being released the day before. So if you don't happen to listen to this episode when it's released, we'll post it on Twitter and Facebook. But yeah, check out Audio Dungeon on Facebook, on YouTube, on Twitch. I'm going to be guesting on this episode on November 27th. It's a lot of fun. You'll get to see me and Tom. You'll actually get to see us, which might be off-putting when you actually do see us, but
We're fine.
Off-putting.
Yeah.
They're Trollocs.
We're hideous.
We have no eyes. Joe has pits. I have skin.
Caverns of Flames. All right, so that's a great place to end this. Thanks, everyone, for listening. You'll hear us next time. Have a good one.